Wednesday, August 18th, 2021. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with the Dose of Common Sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope you are doing well in your life, wherever you might be. Hopefully with, you know, some of the news coming out, not always all that good. Hopefully you're staying in a positive frame of mind and you are moving forward with your life and staying on top of things. We are happy to have you here with us today. And you know what? Today on August 18th, we actually have a really notable birthday that we need to mention. Because it was back on August 18th, 1934, that we had one of the greatest baseball players ever born in Puerto Rico. Yes, Roberto Clemente was the youngest of seven children. And as a youth, Clemente was actually a track and field kid. I mean, they were hoping he was even going to go to the Olympics someday. But then he would eventually turn his attention to baseball. And honestly, he found what he was meant to do. Clemente played a few years in Puerto Rico, and then he came to the States. And in 1954, the Brooklyn Dodgers would bring him over. They were actually trying to hide him on their AAA team, but the Pittsburgh Pirates saw him and they ponied up $5,000 and signed him to their roster. And for the next five seasons, Clemente, he was okay. He wasn't great, but he was okay. Keep in mind, he had to battle through some injuries. He had to adjust to the game and he didn't speak English. So he just had to get used to things. He had to overcome some of those barriers. But then in 1960, it all started to click for Roberto Clemente. He hit .312 with a team-high 94 RBIs. He led the Pittsburgh Pirates to the World Series title. And during the next 7 years, Clemente won four National League batting titles. He won the National League Most Valuable Player Award in 1966, and he began a string of 12 straight Gold Glove Award seasons out in right field. In 1971, Clemente, who is now 37 years old, led the Pirates back to the World Series, and Clemente hit .414 and powered Pittsburgh to yet another world title. He was named the series' most valuable player as well. Clemente recorded his 3,000th hit late in the 1972 season. He became just the 11th player to reach that milestone at the time. Clemente and the Pirates would win the NL East that year, but they would unfortunately lose to the Cincinnati Reds in five games in the NLCS. And here's where it gets a little rough. Because on December 31st, 1972, Roberto Clemente boarded a small plane going from Puerto Rico to Nicaragua to actually assist some people with earthquake relief. The heavily loaded plane would crash just off the Puerto Rican coast, and Clemente's body would never be recovered. He would be elected to the Hall of Fame just the next year in 1973 in a special election that waived the mandatory five-year waiting period. But I mean, when you think back to Roberto Clemente, we are talking about one of the most complete players ever. Not only was he an amazing hitter, he was an incredible fielder. Not only was he one of the best ever to play the game, he was also, by all accounts, a really good guy that tried to help others in need. Now, for me personally, I believe you can make a really, really strong case that Willie Mays was the greatest player to ever play baseball. Again, Willie Mays could do anything. He was amazing. But Willie Mays, while fielding questions from reporters following the announcement of his election to the Hall of Fame back in 79, called Roberto Clemente the best player he ever saw, of course, other than himself. Mays stated Roberto Clemente could do anything with a bat and in the field. He was a two-time World Series winner. He was a 15-time All-Star, a 12-time Gold Glove winner, a four-time batting title winner. Roberto Clemente, born on this day, is without a doubt in the conversation for being one of the greatest of all time. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us who you would nominate as the GOAT of Major League Baseball. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you have a comment you would like to hit us up with. Maybe you need a little advice. Feel free to reach out. We would love to hear from you. Also, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com and checking out some of the new things that are going up there every week. Always putting up some new articles this week. In fact, if you are a Denver Bronco fan, there is a Denver Bronco article up there that came out yesterday on Tuesday. I'm trying to release a new Daily Doses article on Tuesdays. Does usually have more of a local slant, but it could be about nearly anything. And then our featured columnist, Young Jimmy, is also posting a new article on Thursdays. Might have to give him the week off this week. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. And, you know, he's talked about a number of different things when he's written his articles. He's written about Major League Baseball. He's written about some Major League Baseball history. He's even written about some sports that should be added to the Olympics. Some very interesting stuff over there. Plus, you can always go over to DailyDoseSports.com. You can get the video portion of the podcast. You can get the podcast itself. You can get some information about the podcast. A number of things over at DailyDoseSports.com. Make sure you stop by over there. Also, as long as we are all still doing that online shopping, and I know we are, make sure you stop by TeePublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear. Got a few designs that are over there. Got a number of items over there. If you're shopping for clothing, don't forget, fall is coming. I know it doesn't feel like that right now with the heat, but fall is coming. You might need a hoodie. You might need a sweatshirt. Go over to TeePublic.com. You can pick a Daily Dose hoodie or sweatshirt, and you can get it in whatever color you want. They are always doing a ton of sales over there, so make sure that you stop by and get exactly what you need. Hey, today on the show, got a number of things we want to talk about in the world of sports. Got some news coming out in college athletics I want to talk about. Got some things coming out in the NFL. But then, you know, I just talked about him. Our featured columnist, Young Jimmy, is going to be stopping by the show. He is on his way back up to college at the University of Colorado. I want to talk to him, see how writing is going, see what he is thinking of the world of sports right now. Got a number of things for Young Jimmy. But before we get to any of that, I want to jump into a little bit of sports news. I want to start off in the NFL. And I know that the NFL Hall of Fame game was like 2 weekends ago, but the NFL preseason really got ramped up this past weekend. We had a number of games. Most every single team played over this past weekend. And I'm noticing a trend in these games that I wanted to make sure that you are aware of so that you don't fall for the silliness that I know is being fed to you right now, wherever you live. It makes no difference. If you're hearing anything about the NFL right now, I guarantee you are being fed some nonsense. Right now, I am going to read to you some statistics from this past weekend's games, and I want you to see if you notice the same trend that I am noticing, because it's a little bit weird. I'll explain what I mean here in just a second. I'm going to give you some stats. The New England Patriots rookie quarterback Mac Jones went 13 for 19 for 87 yards as the New England Patriots beat Washington last Thursday night. Pretty good debut. In the Pittsburgh Steelers win over the Philadelphia Eagles, also last Thursday, Steelers backup quarterback Dwayne Haskins, he was 16 for 22. He had 171 yards and a touchdown. That wasn't it. Eagles backup quarterback Joe Flacco went 10 of 17 for 178 yards. He also threw a touchdown. Okay, some pretty good games here going. That's not all. On Saturday, the Chicago Bears beat the Miami Dolphins, and Bears rookie quarterback Justin Fields looked really, really good. He threw 14 completions on just 20 attempts, and he passed for a touchdown while running for another touchdown. The Denver Broncos blew out the Minnesota Vikings on Saturday 33-6, and Broncos quarterback Drew Locke went 5-for-7 for 151 yards and 2 touchdowns. That wasn't it for the Broncos. Backup quarterback Teddy Bridgewater was also 7-for-8. He had 74 yards and he threw for a touchdown too. Not done. The Houston Texans blew out the Green Bay Packers 26-7, which is weird enough because we know the Packers and Texans probably wouldn't play that way during the regular season. But Packers backup quarterback Jordan Love looked pretty good. He went 12 of 17 for 122 yards, and he also threw a touchdown. Then, in the Kansas City Chiefs 19-16 win over the San Francisco 49ers, Niners rookie quarterback Trey Lance, well, I mean, he was kind of hit and miss. He went 5 of 14, but he did have an 80-yard touchdown in the first quarter. Now, when you hear these stats, and if you watch these games, I actually watched probably 3 or 4 of these games, you can take them at face value, and you can say, man, all these quarterbacks are going to be really, really good this year. And believe me, the ESPNs and the talk radio and all the sports talk that you're going to be hearing, they're going to be telling us how Justin Fields is already ready to start. And Mac Jones is already going to be a superstar this year. And Drew Locke has finally figured things out here in Denver. And Jordan Love is fully capable of taking over for Aaron Rodgers if he would just get out of the way and let him take over. That's going to be a piece of cake. You can listen to that nonsense, or you can think for yourself and say, well, maybe, just maybe, these quarterbacks were playing against third string defenses that didn't have any sort of a game plan and that were just playing generic, bland, vanilla, nothing defense. I mean, think about the fact that both Joe Flacco and Dwayne Haskins looked really good. Really? You sure? Are you telling me, after watching them for a number of years, they are both suddenly good? They both just figured everything out? I'm not so sure. Now, I am not saying none of these players can play. I'm not saying none of these quarterbacks are going to be good. That's not what I'm saying at all. But if you buy into the hype that we're hearing after one preseason game, and now you're thinking these guys are all suddenly ready to be stars, then you probably aren't dealing in reality. And while I know that the talk radio headlines are going to be lighting up and you're going to have people saying, didn't you see this past game? This kid is a superstar. This quarterback is a superstar. The backup is a superstar. Whoever they might be, we need to be a little smarter than that as we watch the NFL preseason. We need to understand preseason is really, really tough to judge because game plans aren't the same. Players aren't the same. Preparation isn't the same. And even if you say, well, they had like 8 or 9 starters in the game, okay, but maybe that play found that one non-starter. And that's exactly where it went. And if that was the case, then again, we're not getting a realistic product here. I would bet this is all going to change, not even in the regular season. I'll bet it changes over the next game or two, even in the preseason. We'll start to see some of these guys crash back down to earth as they start facing more starters, as they start facing more of a game plan, as they start coming under more pressure. That's going to change things immensely. I know there's going to be a ton of talk this week about how great some of these young quarterbacks looked. There might even be some talk about how good some of the older quarterbacks look. Did you notice they all looked pretty good early on? Like most of the young quarterbacks, most of the quarterbacks that played in week 1, they all looked reasonably good. It's not an accident. It's because they face no defense. Don't buy into the nonsense. Don't buy into the hype.
Don't believe the hype.
Do not forget, I told you this. Because I guarantee these guys are going to crash back down to earth. I actually have some good news to pass forward this week in college sports. Now, when the NCAA recently changed the rules that allow college athletes to earn money off of their name and likeness, we warned you there's probably going to be some bad things coming that we haven't even truly thought about just yet. And I still think that's true. I mean, we are already starting to see high school kids trying to go down the name and likeness path. I'm sure that won't have any negative effects at all on these teenagers. But also keep in mind, remember, federal law does state it is unlawful for an athlete agent to directly or indirectly recruit or solicit a college athlete to enter such an agency contract by providing anything of value to the athlete or anyone associated with the athlete before the athlete enters into an agency contract, including any consideration in the form of a loan or acting in the capacity of a guarantor or co-guarantor for any debts. I mean, the attorney general of a state can bring civil action against an agent who is believed to have violated this law. And I think some of these instances are going to be coming. But for all the negativity that I believe will eventually come, I'm actually seeing a story out there that is pretty positive. I have a feel-good story for you this week because the Brigham Young University Athletic Department has apparently helped broker opportunities for every walk-on member of their football team to sign endorsement deals with a sponsor that can cover the cost of their tuition for at least 1 year. That means all 123 members of the BYU Cougars football program were offered an endorsement deal with a protein bar company called Built Brands, and scholarship players can receive $1,000 each for representing the company. The 36 walk-on players on the roster were offered what amounts to privately funded scholarships, and although the players will be paid directly and they can spend that money in any way that they choose, they can use that money towards tuition where they don't have to pay that off. Now again, one of the biggest problems I have with these kids making this money, I don't have a problem with kids making money. I have a problem with sometimes we act like this scholarship for education is nothing. And I'm not saying it should be everything. If they can make money, by all means, go make money. But I do think sometimes we undervalue the education in this entire process. Hey, getting a free education is huge. Getting a free education for these BYU walk-on football players, that is something that is going to benefit them for the rest of their lives. So while we have seen some bad things coming with the name and likeness stuff, we've got to also talk about some of the good things. And this is one of those very, very good things. Finally, it sounds like there could be an alliance in the works between a number of Power 5 conferences as a response to the craziness going on in the Southeastern Conference in this past month in college athletics. Per the info released last week, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the ACC conferences are all looking to collaborate and possibly form one giant super conference. Talks have centered around not just a scheduling alliance in football, but in broader cooperation according to sources in each of those three conferences. They say the commissioners of the Pac-12, Big Ten, and ACC have been having conversations now for several weeks, and honestly, they don't have much of a choice. Because with Texas and Oklahoma joining, the SEC can now brag that they have, 10 of the best rivalries of all time within their own conference? Something like that. They've got basically all of them. Now, a scheduling alliance across the Big Ten, ACC, and Pac-12 would be the best way for those leagues to kind of put their sources together and maybe come up with a new compelling conference that could compete with the SEC. Here are a couple of catches, though. One, the Big Ten currently pays their member schools $54 million each annually in media rights alone. That's more than the ACC or the Pac-12. So why would the richest league, in terms of that of the three, want to share any of that money with the ACC and the Pac-12? And the only answer would be, I guess they would get more chances to make the playoff, or they would get more chances to have really, really lucrative schedules. Because, think about it. If this super conference came to be, they would be looking at the TV network saying, yes, we realize you have Oklahoma versus Alabama this weekend, but we've got Ohio State USC. That's pretty good, too. Now, I know this stuff is being kicked around, and I know a lot of people are jumping ahead and saying, hey, this is coming, this is coming, this is coming. Understand this. Any kind of a massive alliance like that is going to be really, really complicated because you would have to get out of contracts. You would have to weasel your way out of both conference and non-conference scheduling contracts. There are conference media rights deals that expire at different times. The Big Ten is in 2023. The Pac-12 is in 24, and the ACC, its contracts are still good until 2036. But unless the Big Ten or the ACC could get maybe Notre Dame to join them, which doesn't seem that likely because Notre Dame doesn't seem to have any interest, conferences like these joining up might be the only answer that we truly have to the SEC and the power that they are going to bring. My biggest concern about joining these conferences together like that is if you, say, took the Big 12, which now doesn't really have anything left without Texas or Oklahoma except for in basketball, and say you join them with the Pac-12, that's not that appealing. That doesn't have that much. So then your only choice is to add the ACC or to add the Big Ten. I mean, wouldn't the Big Ten be better off just adding Clemson? Because other than that, I don't know that they see that much return. And here's the other downside to that. We talked about the TV contract. We talked about some of the television rights and the media rights. What about just the traveling nightmare? What about just the logistical nightmare? Hey, we've got Washington getting ready to play the Miami Hurricanes one weekend. Yeah, that's not going to be a pain in the neck to try to do logistically. I know we're starting to hear some of these ideas lobbed out. What if this conference joined this conference and this conference joined this conference? And I understand it. You've got to do something to try to keep up with the powerful SEC. I just don't know that all of these conferences joining up is going to make any sense logistically. It sounds great. It sounds wonderful at the bar talking to your buddies, but would it really work? I would have some major, major questions about any of that going forward. Okay, coming back. It is time for kids to be heading back to school right now, and that also applies to the Daily Dose as well. When we return, we will be joined by our resident student. We need to discuss a number of things going on in the world of sports with young Jimmy. We are joined right now by our Daily Dose featured columnist. Yes, I am talking about young Jimmy, who is right now heading back up to Boulder to the University of Colorado. Jimmy, first off, welcome back to the Dose. How was your summer?
It was fun. I'm glad to be back, but I had a fun summer down in Texas.
What'd you do in Texas? Were you working? Were you just hanging out? Were you partying? What was going on down in Texas?
You know, a little bit of everything. You know, dabbled in multiple things this summer. Did get some work in. Did have some fun. But, you know, I'm glad to be back.
You were umpiring baseball games, if I'm not mistaken.
Last we talked to you. Oh, yeah.
Did you have any incidents this summer as you were umpiring?
You know, I did have a few incidents.
Did you?
I did.
Anything bad?
I had one old guy try to fight me, or he didn't try to fight me, but he was like, you know, I'm down to go if you are. And I was like,
wow.
Listen, I'm not a huge guy, Clint. I'm, you know, 5'7", you know,
but you're 155. Spry.
But here's the thing. I'm not taking crap from someone shorter than me. And this guy not only was shorter than me, but easily had 40 years on me. And I'm not taking crap like that.
I don't blame you.
You know,
you shouldn't. You got to push back sometimes. And that's absolutely fine that you push back. Here's a question for you. How did your freshman year up at Boulder end up?
It was fun. You know, COVID got in the way of everything, but that's pretty much standard nowadays. But hopefully it doesn't get in the way this year.
I'm hoping not. I'm hoping you get to actually go back and have a real, actual year, football games, extracurricular kind of activities that you guys didn't get to do any of that stuff last year.
Yeah. They just implemented masks again indoors, but hopefully that's it. Hopefully they don't put it at like sporting events. I don't know how that's going to work because we're going to be outside for football games. I don't know if they're going to mandate masks there if we're outside or not. So
I am really hoping to see you get some. I realize it's not going to be fully normal, not with what's popping up and some of the things that people are freaking out about. But I would like to see you get to at least experience a real college life.
Oh, I would love to.
And how much fun would it be just to get to go to a college football game? Your dorm, if I'm not mistaken, is very close to the stadium.
It was. Well,
you'd have been right there.
Yeah, no, it was. I was really close to the basketball stadium last year.
Oh, yeah,
you're right. That would have been, especially the year we had last year in basketball.
Sure.
Even though the tournament, we're not looking at a tournament. But the season was great. And, you know, it was really disappointing not being able to go because we were just right there. I could throw a rock at the stadium.
Yeah, that's too bad. I'm really hoping that that you do get some normalcy this year and you do get to go out and experience Folsom Field and all 37 people to go to those games. How did your freshman year end up grade-wise? Are we doing okay grades? Are you taking care of business in the classroom? Are you making the dean's list? What do we have going here?
You know, grades were okay. Okay. Grades were okay. You know, I think they could have been a little better. But, well, you know, this year is a good year to bounce back. Last year was a good feeler. Online school, I feel like it's easier to, like, slack off when school's online. It's easier to, you know, do a class from your bed. Yeah, I feel like once you can do a class from your bed, you're not going to be putting in as much effort.
For sure.
You know, if I can just wake up, click, go back to sleep.
Easily distracted.
Yeah.
Yes, I would understand that. So now, when do your classes actually get going? When do you actually get started with your classes?
I believe the 23rd, okay. August 23rd is when classes start back up.
Your game, first game is like the 28th or something for CU, isn't it? You have UNC on like the 28th.
UNC.
Really close around there.
Really hope we take care of business there.
That is UNC Northern Colorado for those listening. That is not the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, but that's okay. That's okay. You guys need to kind of, you know, work your way into that. But yeah, I would hope that you get a home game and it's as soon as your classes start and you actually get to go to a game and experience, you know, Ralphie running out and that whole thing. How does your schedule look this year? Do you have any interesting classes that we should be expecting you to be taking?
Here? Well, I have two classes that revolve around sports, one of them being philosophy of sports.
Oh boy.
Which is interesting. And then I was one of the last three to get a seat in America Through Baseball. It's a history class.
Really?
That's going to be a really interesting class, hopefully.
Oh, that's interesting. And I'm going to be interested to hear about the philosophy of sport class as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're going to have to come back to the show and talk about some of the things that you're discussing there. I would be fascinated to hear what some of the professors have to say about sports. That's going to be really, really interesting. Now, are you going to be back on campus this year? You got something else going?
So I'm going to be just off campus in an apartment. So I'm not going to be too far, but, you know.
Is this going to be one of those party apartments that you're over there just making a mess and tearing things up?
Well, here's the thing. I don't like living in a complete dump.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to feel like cleaning up, you know, everything. So I'm going to party at someone else's apartment.
There you
someone
go.
Else's house.
There you go. Make them clean up the mess.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to come back.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. You know, it is easier to keep an apartment clean than to have to clean it. Just kind of stay on top of it as you go. You'll be much better off. Jimmy, you have now been writing for the Daily Dose for about 3 months, almost 3 months now. How's that going?
I'm having a good time with it. I'm having fun with it. Sometimes struggling just coming up with stuff to talk about. But I feel like there's a few of them that I'm pretty proud of.
Yeah, I've liked your work. And you and I communicate back and forth. And you send me an article or whatever. And I've been really happy with what you're sending out. Is there an aspect so far, you talked about just now, coming up with ideas, what are you going to talk about this week? Is there an aspect of writing that has turned out to be maybe a little harder than you thought it would be? Is that what it is, coming up with what you're going to talk about that week? Or is there something else that you've been like, man, I'm struggling with this?
Well, I've found things to talk about, like random places of inspiration. Like the one I wrote about Moses Fleetwood Walker was actually, I got that from a TikTok. I was watching TikTok and they were talking about historical photos, right?
Sure.
And the one photo of that was Walker.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is a story I don't know. So I figured I should cover it.
Great place to look for any kind of inspiration when you're out there on social media. A lot of times something will strike with you. But that was a great piece that you wrote about a player in Major League Baseball that nobody knows about.
I had no clue.
I mean, I will sometimes jump on another podcast that is kind of a national podcast that is out there in California. And I dropped that article to them. Mm-hmm. They had never heard of him. And two guys are like kind of baseball historians. That was a really, really good piece. Yeah. But again, you never know where you're going to get that inspiration. And you kind of got to always be searching.
Yeah.
Like as you're just going through your day of life, you're kind of keep a note. I want to talk about that at some point. Anything else with the writing thing that you're struggling with? Or do you feel like you're keeping up on it pretty well?
You know, my issue with the writing thing is I have to go through it again because I will put too many words in a sentence. You know what I mean? I'll say too much, like just unnecessary words, like an and or something.
Sure.
And I have to go back over and it just increases word count. You know, there's more things to read. But other than that, if I can go back and just strip that down, you know, stay simple with it.
Right.
Then that would be great.
Well, and they always do say that less is more when it comes to writing. You want to trim that fat off of there. But Jimmy, you are a huge Major League Baseball fan. MLB is now coming down the stretch. Are you getting a little nervous to keep writing once that season's over? Because you're going to be branching out and touching on some other subjects. Are you going to be good with that?
Yeah, there's going to be it's going to really test me out here. See, I'm going to have to start, you know, really paying attention to other things.
Keeping up on everything, for sure, for sure. That's a good thing, though, and that's always beneficial when you're not quite sure what direction you're going to go in. It's always beneficial to just kind of hit everything and see what you enjoy. Okay. You might end up going out there and finding that you like writing about a different subject at times, or that at least that you can do it if you needed to. Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about the Major League Baseball season, because we are looking at less than probably 50-ish games to play. We are coming down the stretch. But first, I got to get your thoughts on something. Last week, Major League Baseball tried out a new game. They say it's going to be an annual event. The New York Yankees played the Chicago White Sox in Dyersville, Iowa, at the site of the beloved 1989 baseball movie Field of Dreams. The White Sox beat the Yankees 9-8 on a walk-off home run, no less. And they're saying the MLB pulled their best television ratings in the past almost 20 years for that Field of Dreams game. It pulled in a whopping 5.9 million viewers. Now, that's not, you know, I mean, that's less than an NFL preseason game, but that's huge ratings for Major League Baseball. So I want to get your take. Did you love the Field of Dreams game? Are you all in on this?
Oh my God, I loved it. I loved it though. Everything about it was great. You know, the cornfield is great. The uniforms, I love the throwback uniforms. Sure. I wish they played a series there. I don't see why they didn't play the series there. I see them play there and then they went back to New York or Chicago.
Right.
I would have loved to see the series there, and I'm glad they're going back. And they could not have asked for a better game.
Oh no, they got the
perfect game.
You get a really, really tight game and a great finish.
Oh my God.
You got everything that you could have possibly wanted. Here's a thought that I had. I liked it. I don't think it works in any other sport.
No.
You literally couldn't do it in another sport. You couldn't go, hey, we're going to have the Lakers play the Celtics in Indiana and recreate Hoosiers. Like you can't do it anywhere else. That's the only place. But I would be a lot more excited if the players wore the safety equipment from that era. Like, I would love to see the catcher out there with like some newspaper stuffed into his socks for his shin guards. That would have pulled me in and I would have been like all on board, because we might see someone just get crushed.
I would have loved to see the gloves with no webbing in them, you know, or the, pretty much
where
grabbable.
You actually had to grab it. It was like wearing a big mitten. That would have been wonderful. But no, it's some excitement for baseball and it's mid-season excitement. Hey, come playoff time, we all kind of jump in and go, okay, let's see what's going on. But for the midseason, that's pretty awesome for them. And baseball is a regional sport. Mm-hmm. You watch your team.
It's rare
that most baseball fans, they don't watch any game that's on like we do in football. If a game's on, we'll watch it. But with that one, you've got people that weren't White Sox fans, that weren't Yankees fans, to actually tune in and watch a game. And that's a good thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. You know, especially with the White Sox, because just how good they are right now. You're not getting, you know how the NFL would put out a team in London and it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, you're getting two good teams playing right now.
Yeah, and a really competitive game against with teams that are vying for playoff positions. Yeah. So that's awesome. Jimmy, the Los Angeles Dodgers look like they are going to steamroll their way to another World Series title easily. The only thing that I could see tripping them up, though, would be injuries. And they have injuries to deal with. Here's the question I have for you. Is there a team out there that you like that could sneak up on the Dodgers? I mean, the Giants are out there. The Padres are out there. The Brewers are out there. There's a few teams that are kind of lurking. On paper, this should be Dodgers.
It should be.
They have all the talent.
100% should be. But they're not even leading that division. I don't think the Giants are going to let up here anytime soon. And if I'm going to be honest, I would be careful when talking about the Padres. They're sitting 10 games out. Their wild card spot, they could miss. They the Padres have like 20 games against teams above 500 left on their schedule.
Okay.
Cincinnati Reds
have
like the same amount of teams under 500, and they're streaking right now. They're hot right now. Padres could miss these playoffs.
That's going to get real interesting over on that side. So is there a team over in the National League that you do think could sneak up on the Dodgers, or is it just the Dodgers and that's how it's going to be?
Honestly, I think it's not going to come from the NL East. I don't think any of those teams are good enough at all. But the Milwaukee Brewers?
Brewers are kind
of
sneaky,
guys
aren't they?
Are killers. Yeah. Those guys are killers, especially that pitching staff. That pitching staff is insane. Now, I don't know if it's Dodgers insane, but they can definitely give them a run.
Okay, we're going to keep an eye on the Brewers as we come down the stretch, because, again, we know when it gets into tight games. And during the regular season, everyone gets hyped and everyone's excited about the home runs. Cool. We know when it's crunch time, it's going to come down to pitching. And the Brewers, to me, look like that team.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they could actually stand up to the Dodgers and give them some pitching. I don't know that there's anyone else over there that could.
I don't think so.
Over in the American League, the Tampa Bay Rays just keep winning despite their losses. I don't even understand it. They lose guys. They lose stud pitchers. It doesn't seem to matter. The Rays still keep rolling. They're not spending big money. But again, there are teams out there that are lurking. The Houston Astros are playing pretty well lately. The Chicago White Sox, we talked about improving. The Oakland A's are surprising a little bit. Is there anybody out there you like over in the American League?
Honestly, Houston. Yeah, hate to say it, but you know, Houston's rolling. They've been rolling all year. They've just been consistently good. And the Rays, I'm not sure if the Rays have... Well, the Rays have a +114 run differential.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that's because they have a good offense or if that's because their pitching is just so good.
Sure.
The other teams just don't score runs and they can win 4-1 every game, you know, and they have shooting that run differential up. Now, Boston, I think, is interesting to look at. Chris Sale just came back. He struck out 8 in his first game back in like 2 years. We'll see how that arm holds up. He just came off of, you know, a pretty major injury. I remember having him back on like my fantasy team and getting screwed 2 years ago because he got injured.
Sure.
But he's been out for a while, but he looked good. He looked solid on his comeback. So he's going to be a big player in their playoff push.
We're going to be heading down the stretch. We've got, like we said, about 50 games. We're going to have you back come playoff time and check in and get your picks because while we are coming down the stretch, 50 games is still a while. Like we've still got a long stretch. You could have injuries. You could have guys coming back. So we're going to have some changes there, no question. But right now, it kind of looks like we could be headed towards another Tampa Bay LA World Series.
It's definitely possible. 100 actually could happen very easily. But I do like the White Sox, man. I do like the White Sox.
And that's interesting, because that's a team you didn't like early on.
Yeah.
What are they figuring out? What are they doing different?
Well, their pitching's great, and they have a good... They just upgraded the bullpen. They just keep upgrading that bullpen. And their offense is back. They're getting healthy. They're just really hard to count out here.
Your boy Tony is figuring things out.
I don't know if he's figuring things out or just shutting up, you know?
Well, you might be right. Maybe he's just decided, you know what, less is more. I'm just going to stop talking and saying such dumb things. Baseball is going to get very, very interesting, that's for sure. And, you know, like we said, as we get into fall, football season comes, but then baseball really, really ramps up and it's going to start getting crazy as teams are searching for those playoff spots. Okay, coming back, we still have more to talk with young Jimmy. Of course, he's going to be up in Boulder on a college campus. What are his CU Buffs going to do this year? But more importantly, what about the Pac-12? Where is that all heading? We talked about that a little bit earlier in the show. Want to get his thoughts on that as well. Plus, we need to talk a little bit of NFL, too. What team does he like that might not be one of the favorites? We are going to get to that when we get back. Let's now resume our conversation with Daily Dose featured columnist, Young Jimmy. Okay, we're going to switch over, though. Going to move over a little bit to the world of college football because college football is coming quickly. We talked about it earlier. We've got games coming at the end of this month, already in August. Jimmy, you are on a college campus that has football, sort of. How is the Pac-12 looking this year? What are we going to see in the Pac-12 this year? We're going to have our college football preview coming at some point soon, but how is the Pac-12 going to be this year? And more importantly, how are your hometown CU Buffs going to look this year?
Well, I think the Pac-12 is, you know, I don't know if they're going to make any significant changes or boosts in where they are at.
Right.
Pac-12 is going to be the Pac-12. Maybe if we absorb a few conferences, maybe that'd be great.
I do want to talk about that in a minute, but yeah, that's going to get real interesting.
But the Buffs, you know, Buffs are going to be the Buffs. We have a bunch of 3-star recruits. You know, nothing wrong with that. But we had a big quarterback battle going on here, but one of our guys just got injured. JT Shrout from Tennessee transferred over this year. He just went down with a knee injury, so he's probably going to be Brendan Lewis, I believe, coming up to play. He's redshirt freshman.
Okay.
He did great in the Alamo Bowl, though, when he had to come in at the end because we were just getting destroyed.
Right.
But he looked really good, and he's a good mobile quarterback. You know, he can get the ball downfield. He can scramble. Good college-style dude. Maybe he can change it up for the Buffs here, and we can get on top of the Pac-12.
let's hope that you guys can come out and get after a little bit, because I think that there is a chance for CU to do something in that Pac-12, because the Pac-12 is not overly strong. It's probably a little bit top heavy, but you could make some noise if you could just figure out how to get decent quarterback play, maybe come up with a few stops. You got a stud at wide receiver.
We have a few wide receivers that can get things done. Brendan Rice is great. Pretty solid for what he can do. Laviska Shenault's brother plays for us, and he had a good year last year. He had some issues getting in trouble at the bowl game. But even on defense, we have a few guys. Nate Landman coming back again, so he was pretty stout last year. And we have a good running back in Broussard and Fanat.
Broussard's a stud.
They're good. So
Okay, maybe not quite yet, but can we expect the Pac-12 some Pac-12 insight from these weekly articles you're sending us? Have you breaking down the Pac-12 and CU football?
Yeah, definitely. I'll be there.
You will be there. We're gonna have an in person.
Yeah,
right there, covering Pac-12 sports for us for the Daily Dose. Okay, we're gonna be looking forward to that. You know, you talked about it just a minute ago, but we've seen some big offseason stories in college football this year. The SEC scoops up Oklahoma and Texas, as if the SEC needed any more help. The SEC just gets more and more strong. There are rumors that the SEC could be chasing Clemson, Florida State, maybe Miami from the ACC. Here's the question. These other conferences are going to have to do something to keep up. And there is talk that maybe the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 could kind of join up, and we would basically have two monster power conferences. What do you think's going to happen here with the Pac-12?
You know, if the SEC does get any strong, I mean, they're already getting strong with Oklahoma and Texas.
Right.
Well, Oklahoma. And
wow, that was a shot right across. That was horns down.
That was after that the was Alamo
audio
Bowl,
horns
was
down right there.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. You can't. I mean, the SEC is just too good. What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do about it. You have to combine the conferences. I don't know if that's how I would do it, because, you know, there's just the ACC along with the Pac-12. Those are just on complete different sides of the country. You'd have to. That's just too much travel.
Right.
The NCAA would have to step in and figure something out with these divisions or with these conferences, and maybe even just get rid of them.
Right. And what I'm wondering is if the Pac-12 maybe absorbs a team or two from, I don't know, a Mountain West or a Big 12, teams that could come in. You look at a team like Kansas and you say, well, we don't want Kansas. But come basketball? No, we want Kansas.
No, yeah.
So you look at maybe absorbing some teams like that, and then maybe you did take a Big Ten team or two, and maybe we end up with three conferences as opposed to, you know, five. I don't know. It's going to get real, real interesting to see how this goes, because right now the SEC is light years ahead of everyone else with the talent they have.
It's just not close, and they just can't. You just can't compete. It's just
not with the money they have.
No.
And the money that they're willing to spend, because they don't mind spending money.
Well, if there's one thing I know, is that the NCAA will figure this out in a prompt and timely manner, just how they always do.
They do things efficiently. They do things intelligently. Mm-hmm. Here is what I'm kind of hoping for, and I'm just going to lob this out there. I am kind of hoping that the SEC, for all the people that hate the SEC and the SEC is the devil and the SEC is in bed with ESPN, and I understand it. I get it. But is it possible that maybe the SEC could break the NCAA and we get rid of the NCAA and then we just have these monster super conferences that are running college football basically as a minor league football league? I would be fine with that, because I can't figure out what the NCAA does.
Of course. I would love to see that.
I would too.
They basically could already. If the SEC has all the power here.
Yes, they do.
They have all the power.
They have the TV contracts. They have all the money. They're going to be getting even more money. I think it's 2025 that they pick up Oklahoma, Texas.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just going to be getting bigger and bigger. I just want them to put the NCAA out of business and let's stop acting like they're something that they're not.
The SEC could easily get petty. We're just not going to do this. We're not going to do that.
Right.
And what are you going to do about it? Because we make your money.
And you have no teeth.
Yeah.
You don't have anything you can tell us. I'm legit hoping that that's what ends up happening, and that the SEC just busts the NCAA and we get a true minor league football program, which is basically what we're heading towards right now. And I'm fine with that. I don't have any problem with that. Yeah. What are you thinking? Because you're a guy, Jimmy, that's in college. You're a guy that is paying for your education, or at least, you know, your family's paying for education or whatever. you're seeing these guys going and getting scholarships and getting a free education, and now they're getting to capitalize on their name and likeness. Now, I'm a capitalist. If you can make money, go ahead and make money. I don't have any problem with that. But as a college student that's paying your own way through college, are you struggling to watch these guys pick up these $1 million deals that you don't get any chance at?
Well, it really makes me wish I was a foot taller and about 50 pounds heavier.
Sure, of course it does.
But yeah, I mean, if you can do it, I guess go for it. Whatever, man. I'm going to struggle eating this ramen. Get your money, man.
The key is to get that hot sauce in that ramen.
Yeah.
Throw a little protein in there. Get some canned chicken or something. Spice up that horrible ramen and make it a little bit better. Well, college football is going to be interesting this year. I think we're going to actually get back to some full stadiums. I think it's going to be a little bit more normal. I know we're probably going to have some weird forfeits or something stupid. I get it. But I think we're going to have a little closer to a realistic, normal college football season this year, and I, for one, am looking forward to it. Jimmy, let's move over quickly to the NFL, because the NFL preseason is rolling, and we are getting going at least a little bit with the preseason. We saw some preseason games this last week. I talked a little bit earlier on the podcast about how we saw some quarterbacks step up over the weekend. I'm sure everyone is going crazy and getting excited about the big games they turn in. I'm not going to buy it, but I mean, I guess some people can, and I'm not saying it's all BS, but there were a lot of quarterbacks looking really good over the weekend, and I'm not going to believe all that. But having said that, are there any of these young quarterbacks that you're looking at that you're like, no, that kid might be special, though. He can play.
Well, you know,
then don't say Steven Montez. I know you're going to say Steven Montez. Don't be bringing up these CU kids.
Well, you know, did he play?
He did. He played really well.
No way.
He played really well for Washington.
Then I'm throwing all preseason stuff really out the door. Like, if you thought Drew Locke's decision making was bad,
right?
Just
Steven's right there.
Watch Steven Montez. But you know, there's some controversy about this guy, just some doubt on his play coming in. But Justin Fields, you know, impressed me in his go at it this weekend. He went 14 for 20.
Yeah.
You know, he looked good.
He looked good.
He rushed okay. You know, he looked solid back there.
Yeah, he did. And it's going to be interesting to watch that team, because you've got Andy Dalton. And Andy Dalton is a veteran. He's not a dumb guy. He's been in bad positions. But you know those fans are going to want to see Justin Fields.
And that's my issue. Fans need to be patient.
Yes.
Fans need to learn to be patient, especially like for a guy like Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
You have just that kind of talent. He got sacked twice in the preseason. Why not take a year, upgrade your line, have Minshew go out, you know.
Get him killed.
People like Minshew, you know.
Right.
He's got a good stash. He got roll a with mullet him going.
For a, right. He looks like a 70s porn star. Roll with him for a little while.
Yeah, just get your team
Lawrence
set.
Get his feet under him. And yes, and like you said, develop that offensive line, which is not very good.
No.
And the thing that always scares me is if you get a quarterback gun shy, we saw with Sam Darnold, we've seen with guys like David Carr, they get gun shy and they get broken.
Oh, yeah.
You can't fix them.
Andrew Luck didn't get gun shy, but he was broken.
He was broken.
That's a broken man.
Yes, because he took way too much abuse, and they never surrounded him with the talent that they should have. I would agree with you on that. Some of these young guys, be patient with them. I know as fans, well, one, let's be real clear, fans are idiots. But we know as fans, you want to see the rookie, and the rookie's going to be great, and we haven't seen him yet, so we're all excited about that rookie. Ease back. Take it easy. And you would rather have a 10-year quarterback than a 2-year guy that, now we got to go draft somebody else. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't seem very wise to me. Jimmy, the NFL is going to be interesting again this year. I think there are probably 6, maybe 7 teams that legit have a chance to, if things come together, that could win it. But we know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the defending champs. They have everyone back. Mm-hmm. In the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs have gone to the last 2 Super Bowls. They're going to be very, very tough again. Is there a team out there that you like going into the season? Maybe not one of the big dogs. Maybe it's just a tier below that. Maybe you have a dark horse. Is there a team out there that you're kind of keeping an eye on this year to surprise some people?
You know, I do like Tennessee.
Yeah.
I just like the whole idea of Tennessee. You know,
I agree.
Their quarterback, they're kind of an underdog mentality, especially with their quarterback, Tannehill's not really a, you know, big name, but, you know, he gets the job done, and they upgraded their receivers. They brought in Julio Jones.
Right.
And it's hard to count. You can't just count out Derrick Henry.
No.
Especially with just
that
what he does.
Man.
That is a beast of a man, you know?
I like that pick. That's a really good pick. We're going to be getting to pro football here in the next few weeks. But yeah, I like that pick a lot because that's a team I'm kind of keeping an eye on here in the preseason and just going, hey, they might be sneaky over in that AFC. There's a few teams in the AFC, couple teams in the NFC that are going to be interesting to watch. But no, that's a good pick. And I don't think that now Tennessee's got to shore up that defense. They've got to shore up that pass rush for sure. Yeah. But I don't think that they ask much of Tannehill, and that's the perfect position for him.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, anything you give us is bonus because we're going to smash people with Derrick Henry. And then, hey, chip in something and give us something here or there.
And I think that a lot of teams could take that advice. If you just learn to use your quarterback for what he is, because there's so many bad quarterbacks in the league. And I think you just got to find your niche, you know?
Speaking of bad quarterbacks, we've got a quarterback situation here in Denver where we're looking at this roster and we're going, hey, there's some talent that has been assembled. Oh, yeah. There's some skill position. There's a really good defense there. I don't know how much to believe in either one of these quarterbacks. We've got Drew Lock. We've got Teddy Bridgewater. Is there any reason for hope on these guys?
I think Bridgewater, I mean, I think is a good pick or a good bring in. Yeah. He's just going to be a middle of the road guy. He's not going to give you anything spectacular. I just don't know how much this team needs because this is a good team, just needs a quarterback.
Yeah.
I just need to see someone give them any kind of inspiration to just go out because it's hard to back Lock all the time, especially these fans are going to back him now because he just had this.
Yeah, he has a great preseason game.
But
sure,
I don't know. I would like to see Lock go off. Yeah, you know, I would love to. You know, he's a charismatic dude. He'd be a great face of the franchise.
He looks like he should be your superstar.
He just makes kind of really bad decisions.
Bad decisions and bad accuracy.
And maybe he just needs a little competition. Maybe the competition will be good for him. But I mean, what do you have in the past was like Joe Flacco.
Right.
Joe Flacco sucks.
Yes.
So.
Right. And that's a great, you know, comparison because we have a guy that kind of looks like that. Hey, he's got the big arm.
Mm-hmm.
He's not afraid to pull the trigger and throw it down the field. He just doesn't make very good decisions. And his accuracy is really, really suspect, especially when you get in tight situations. And we know red zone situations get tight and he really seems to struggle. So it's hard to have a whole lot of faith there. We will see if the Broncos can figure some things out. If you had to pick right now, how are you thinking they're finishing? Are they above 500? Are they below 500? Do they do better than expected? Are they going to be horrible? What would you be picking for a hometown team?
I'd pick them above 500 just to be cautiously optimistic. You know, I like to think about my home team in a lightly manner, unless they're the Colorado Rockies.
Well, you know, and I purposely did not bring up the Rockies today because I didn't want to ruin your day. I wanted you feeling good when you went up to college. But the Colorado Rockies, hey, they've won 50 games.
Yeah, all their home games.
All their home games. Not doing so well on the road.
And I don't know, man. They got rid of Brittich, but, you know, trails of Brittich are still there, and the people he hired are still there. And you can tell by what they did at the deadline, absolutely nothing.
Nothing whatsoever. So you're going to have guys leave, and you're going to get nothing for them in return.
I'm really looking forward to Trevor Story leaving for absolutely nothing.
That's what's going to happen.
Because there's no way they resign him.
They won't pay that money. No, they won't pay that money. They have no interest in that.
They won't pay that money, and he doesn't want to be here.
And I don't blame him.
Even after the training, he was like, what am I still doing here?
Right.
Who's running this team, man?
It's such a disaster. That is absolutely a complete and utter mess. Well, Jimmy, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. We always enjoy your visits, and I want to thank you for the articles that you're writing every week. I think you're doing a great job. I think it's really, really good experience for you. And if nothing else, it's helping you get a resume out there. Yes, you can now tell your fellow college classmates, hey, look, I've got work out there. I'm putting in some things, but we're definitely going to have you back. As the playoffs get closer, you're going to have to make that trip down from Boulder, and we will sit down and talk about the playoffs, sit down and talk a little college football, get your insight on being front and center at these CU Buffs games. Should be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. Me too. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Quality Baseball. And that's where you can hear from me. I'll post my articles up there, too, if you miss it on The Daily Dose. But thank you for having me on. Definitely appreciate it. Look to be back on at some point.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we are going to be bringing you our 2021 college football preview. So, hey, maybe you're not keeping up on all the recruiting and all the players that have left early for the NFL. You might be sitting there going, well, I don't know which teams are going to be contenders. Don't worry. We are going to have you covered. Might have to talk a little bit about that conference realignment. We will also be bringing you our picks for each major conference. We will be bringing you our picks for the Heisman. We will even make our picks for the college football playoff. So make sure that you tune into The Dose next week and make sure you let a friend know to do the same. Because I'm telling you right now, college football is coming fast. Hey, I want to say thank you so much for Young Jimmy for stopping by The Dose and for all of your work on the Daily Dose website as well. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel, for giving us positive ratings wherever it is you watch or listen. Thank you for reading the articles that are going up on DailyDoseSports.com. But most of all, thank you so much for sharing the show, for sharing the video, for sharing the articles with someone you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to GSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
The SEC does get any stronger. I mean, they're already getting strong with Oklahoma and Texas.
Right.
Well, Oklahoma.